Well, last week was a little bit on a different side. Hallelujah. You know, we went a long time, but you know, the last part that I spoke when we asked you to stand to your feet, from that time started, I was operating under the word of knowledge. Things just kept coming, and things just kept coming. And actually, for that period of time, I don't know that I've ever had that anointing come on me for that extended period of time. Just things just kept coming out and coming out and coming out. You know, some things were for some, and some, you know, may have not been of others. We can all learn from things, but some may directly speak specifically to us. And, you know, God isn't doing anything trying to embarrass anyone or anything, and I think sometimes He moves in that way. And, you know, there's times that God will have me call somebody out and give them a word on something. But, you know, sometimes in the areas of correction, God will have and work in ways that, you know, He's not trying to call somebody out to embarrass him, but yet He wants to say some things. Hallelujah. For us to learn. Last week we started up, we're doing this teaching series on living a life of faith, because faith is, many times, it seems that people use faith from the standpoint, faith is something that a person has at a time they want to do something. Then they'll talk about, well, I'm getting in faith. Well, where's to live a life of faith? I mean, when I started off as a young believer, you know, the faith life was a whole new lifestyle to me. I was 30 years old when I got born again, but I was had never lived a life of faith. I lived a life in the flesh, and I got really good at it. And to make that transformation over to learn to live a life of faith was really stepping into something different. And you don't start where you don't end up where you start at. At least you shouldn't. You should do better as you progress along. But when I first started off, to me, I would get in faith with God for certain things. But really, I wasn't living a life of faith. I was just learning how to even, you know, operate in faith in areas. And to me, it was starting the areas just like in the areas of healing. God dealt with me probably of any subject for the first 3 years of my Christian walk. Really dealt with me concerning the area concerning healing. And it really had me spend a lot of time over into that area learning about that. And I can see why today, because really from the standpoint of teaching that area, I'm sold out on healing. Some minister can come along and preach whatever he wants about healing and saying, you know, sometimes God wants you sick and say all those things. It don't mean nothing to me. I don't pay no attention to it anymore. I know better. And because I spent a lot of time in it, well, I learned over time how to live and walk in the life of healing and how to live that out in my life, not just wait till you get sick and then try to get better. If something comes knocking on your door, I learned how to walk to live the life of faith, how to bring things to a stop, how to halt things. And really, it becomes a thing. If something goes to come on to me, I mean, I immediately start thinking in the line of faith. I mean, it's just natural. I don't try to think of a scripture to quote or something. I used to do that stuff. You know, I used to go get the Bible out and make sure I had the right one and I was saying the right thing. But, I don't ever think in that way anymore. I mean, it's become part of my life. It's just the way you live. And it's like, the first thing is I think of, something comes knocking on my door, I don't think of, why is God doing this to me? Why is this happening? I just don't understand. I don't go through that. People go through that is because they don't know God. First thing they do is begin to question. You know, if I want to get a glass of water, you know, I could go to the refrigerator, get a cold glass, or maybe just go over to the sink. I don't stop and say, now I just don't, why am I thirsty? I just don't understand. I had a drink yesterday. Why on earth? And see, people don't realize when you start moving over to those other areas, it's because it hasn't become a lifestyle to you. You don't know it well enough. You got to come to the place where you live by faith. And you might have areas of your life where you live more by faith than others because you know more about it. You understand more. There's areas that I got to learn more about. I got to learn so I can walk more in faith in those areas, to live a life of faith in those areas. And rather than, trying to have faith for something, I want to come to the place, it's just as natural for me to just act out in that area, just like I do with healing. I just automatically flow into it. I know what to do. I know what to walk in. And so you want to do that. Hallelujah. So last week we got over, we were in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we were looking there because, so talking about faith, and we read the first verse of that chapter in Hebrews 11, chapter and verse 1, and we just stuck there. I couldn't get past it. I had a lot of notes past that, but we never got to them. God stuck me over in the areas of hope, and it's important. Your hopes are important. But it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we're talking about faith, again, we're not talking about the realm that is seen. This is what people don't understand. They talk about faith, but yet their life, they're living in the area that they want to operate in faith in. They're really walking and living by what they see. And then they'll talk about believing God. Well, the two don't match. The two don't match. The life of faith does not deal with the seen realm. It deals with the unseen realm. There's an unseen realm. Our earth was created out of an unseen realm, and we'll find out as we read down these scriptures. But in other words, you have hopes and you have dreams in your life. I want you to understand this. Those hopes and dreams, if they're not in line with the Word of God, you can't get God to get behind you in faith to bring it to pass. You're going to have to do that one on your own. When we're talking about faith here, we're talking about faith in God's Word. In other words, the things that God has said, the things God wants you to have and how He wants to bless you, but also what He wants to do through you, we do it by faith. And the hopes and dreams that you have, it requires faith to bring them to pass. It's a requirement. If you want to bring it to pass, the hopes and dreams that you have, and that's why hopes are very important things. Many times, and I said last week, and I've said many times folks have, a desire that they're trying to get in faith with, but they are really not in a place of hope. They never really have a hope, a confident expectation that it's going to, that they're allowed to even have it. They don't know. See, people come along, and when they've heard people say to them, well, sometime God makes you sick. Well, if that there's a question in a person's mind and it's rolling around out there, you can't really have a hope to be healed because you don't know. You don't know. So you got to come to the place where your hope is this reality that God wants to bless me, and then faith is what faith does is faith takes a hold of that hope. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to read to you from the Amplified. The Amplified Bible, me personally, I like it the best. The way the Amplified Bible says Hebrews 11:1. The Amplified Bible says of that verse, it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. It says, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Understand, when we're talking about faith and operating in faith, we're not talking about what's going on in your senses, what you feel. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all what you feel and what the Word of God says. But we need to understand, we were singing, the songs we were singing today. There's a quote from the scriptures that we read dealing with the areas of the weak saying we're strong. The Bible says, let the weak say they're strong. Now, you live in the culture of today. The culture today tells you to the weak call themselves weak. That's what you do. You call yourself weak. If you're weak, you call yourself weak. That's being honest. The Bible says, let the weak say they're strong. Well, I have to ask this question, then who is being honest? Is the Bible lying and is man telling the truth? The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Do you know, if you're a born-again Christian, and I understand, don't take this as criticism, please. This is teaching. A born-again Christian, healing belongs to them. For a Christian to walk around and say opposite of what the Word says, they're lying. If the Bible calls you healed, then you're healed. See, we were singing a song. The Word says I'm healed, then I'm healed. But see, Christians will walk around and they'll talk and talk. They won't say, the weak won't say they're strong. The weak say they're weak. The poor don't say they're rich. The poor just keep saying, I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor. See, the Bible tells us to speak something else, to say something else. You cannot maintain hope saying the opposite of what the Bible says. You'll dash all your hopes of ever succeeding. You will have no place for your faith to even do a thing. And this is what most people, they're trying to get into faith while they destroy their own hope. They destroy their own hope with their mouth and then try to get in faith. You can't do it. Well, I want to believe to get, see, I'm so poor, I'll tell you why I'm so poor, I can't pay attention. You know, I'm just so poor. You know, and I just, it's just so bad. I mean, you just don't understand my problem. Well, see, you know, and a person gets up, and what they do is they glorify, they don't see it as it, but they glorify the bad position they're in. That's not glory to God. Glory to God is glorifying what God said. God said, let the rich say, you know, the poor say, I'm rich. Hallelujah. I'll never talk like I'm poor. You know, I'll tell you, my father, I don't know that if he understood some things about the word or not, as a Christian man, or some things he did, but you know, he was a type of man. He used to say, he said about this. Now, I know he would say it, but he talked to me about saying it when he wasn't even a Christian. He talked about it. He said, I always said I would never do without a job. I would always have a job. And he said, now understand, my father had a fourth grade education. It's the highest he ever went in those areas and things and that stuff. But my father went through the Great Depression. And he said, I never lacked a job. I had a job the whole time. He said, men all around me didn't have jobs. He said, but I always said, I'll never do without a job. He didn't realize that his mouth moved him in a direction that even wasn't a child of God, his mouth was moving him in a direction. See, all these people you have today, why, you just can't find a job. If a guy comes to me and says, pray for me, I can't find a job, I just tell him, say, ain't no point in me praying for you. You said you can't find one, so forget it. Ain't no use praying for you. You said you can't find one. Hallelujah. That's really good. So what do you want me to do? Agree with you with that? You can't find one? Seems like you've been doing pretty good at that anyhow. So we don't need agreement on that one, do we? Well, see, you start speaking and start saying the right things. You know, you don't curse yourself. You don't curse yourself. Men and people, they don't see it that way. They don't see it. Instead of building up their confidence, instead of having a surety, they're moving the opposite way of faith. They're not speaking concerning themselves and what God wants, God's plan for their life. God's plan, you know, Jesus said you'll always have the poor with you. He didn't say you have the poor because God just made people poor. Why will you always have it with you? You'll always have it with you because people just downright believe in it. You know, there's some people, they don't care, you can offer them a job, they ain't taking it. They know, poverty's going to work. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. If you have people that won't do things, the Bible says God blesses the labor of your hand. You get somebody that won't work, well, they can't expect God to bless the labor of their hand. They ain't done none. They didn't do any labor with their hands. So they cannot expect to be blessed. They can't expect that. See, so you got to put your hand to something. In other words, there's things I got to do. One of the greatest things that you can start to do is start getting your mouth in order, starting to say the right thing. I've said this for years, and I'll say it all the time. You need to become your best own cheerleader. You need to be. Everybody today is waiting around for somebody else to encourage them. That's good if somebody can. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't encourage yourself, nobody else can. Because you'll talk against everything that everybody will do to try to encourage you. What you need to do is be your own best cheerleader. That's what I learned to do a long time ago. I get up in mornings, and when I go in the bathroom and I'm shaving, I talk to that guy in the mirror. I talk to him. That man's a success. That man's not a failure. That man is blessed by God. The Bible says so. And I remind him, because some days you don't feel so blessed. Some day there's stuff just, oh man, I got to do this today or do that today. But you got to talk to that man. You got to encourage that man. And you have to do that. If you're a person that don't do that, then you are your major problem. You must encourage you. Because there's always things around you to try to discourage you. There's always stuff going on. You can do the best that you can do. You can walk, do everything right. And there's always somebody on the sideline that's going to try to trip you up. There's always something going on. The devil's going to do something. But if you let that become the thing that dominates you, you're going to find it hard in life. You're going to find things difficult. This is why when we walk in faith, faith is dealing with the unseen. It may not look like I'm blessed, but the Bible said I'm blessed. The Word of God says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing and in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It says it in Ephesians, the first chapter. If I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, then I'm not trying to get blessed. I have been blessed. So what I need to do is to find out is, number one, begin to talk to myself and say, you know, Ed, you're blessed. Ed, you're a blessed man. Hallelujah. Why? The Bible says so. But now I got to find out what I'm blessed with. And that's why we go to the Word. We were singing today about the promises of God. They're yes and amen. The Bible says this. Every promise that's in the book, all the promises of God are yes and amen. There's not one of them that's no. So if anybody comes along and tells you and says, well, sometimes God will do it and sometimes he won't, you just look at him and said, you lied. Because every promise in the book is yes and amen. All the promises of God. When people come along to you and say, oh, that was for Israel over there. Uh-uh. The word says every promise God made's a yes to Ed. Hallelujah. It's a yes to you. Every one of them is. You need to become convinced. See, you need to know how to talk. See, you'll discourage yourself if you don't learn to use your mouth and say when somebody says, no, you're not blessed, say, oh, hold it. Let's hit the brakes on this one. Let's hit the brakes on this one. I'm blessed. I read the book. In Ephesians says, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'm not going to talk any different about it. If God says I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing, now what I must do is find out what the blessings are so I can respond to them by faith. Find out what it is. See, when I found out that the blessing of healing belonged to me, that one's mine. Man, when I found that out, I don't know about you, I don't like sick. I've been sick and I've been well, and well is much better than sick. I never saw anybody say, well, you know, I've heard even ministers say that God, you know, some blesses his children with sickness to teach them things. Well, I want to tell you, if you believe God blesses you with sickness, you can have all my blessing in the sickness area. I'll give it to you. You may have all that. It can all be yours. I'll pass that great blessing by. I'll never stand in faith for it, okay? So you can have every bit of it. Glory to God. But see, the people say things. Whenever has sickness been a blessing? See, this is one of the reasons why a lot of sinners have nothing to do with the church world, because the church is insane. Because they're going around telling God making people sick. Yet we believe, and then we say they ought to get laws, get the bad people off the street. You know, if somebody made their kids sick, we'd say they're an evil person. Well, if God makes people sick, then they're just acting like God. Let them alone. We ought to be cheering them. See, but the world has enough sense to know, what are they doing down there in that building? We don't want to go down there. See, I got enough trouble without going to a place where a God gets you in trouble. You know, I don't need anybody helping me get in trouble. I did enough on my own. And so, but getting over it, why? Faith, now we found out, so this faith, this is assurance. There's unseen, these promises I found when I got saved, all these promises were unseen to me. I couldn't see any of it manifested in my life. I couldn't see any of it around me. It was all in the unseen realm. But the Word of God said that those things that were unseen, the promises that God made, if I would believe those promises could come to pass in my life. They're all in the unseen. See, we were praying for sick up here this morning. We weren't handing out medicine. Well, I didn't give anybody a shot. I'm not a doctor. I didn't prescribe any medicine. What are we doing? We're believing an unseen power of God is going to heal somebody. That's what we're believing. The unseen power of God. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I believe he bore my sin on the cross. Why wouldn't I believe that that part was true too? I believe it. See, I believe it so. Jesus came on the earth. He said he didn't do anything that the Father didn't do. Not one person had asked him for healing did he deny him. Not one person. He said, nope, I'm sorry. This one don't belong to you. God told me personally, you need to be sick. There's things you need to learn. I'm going to tell you what. Here's how I learn about healing. It wasn't from getting sick. It was learning how to get well. God taught me faith in the area of healing is how to get well, not how to get sick. I knew how to do that. Just do nothing. You'll get sick. Just sit around and act dumb. You'll get sick. I knew how to do that good. I was a champion at it. But I had to learn how to respond to God's word, and God taught me how to use my faith to turn around and deal with what was going on in my body. And he, over time, taught me about that by faith. So I had a hope to be healed, and so faith in God's word, it became the title deed or the confirmation. Faith is your confirmation. I like that. And it uses a term in the Amplified Bible. It says in there that it uses the term title deed. And we all know what a title or a deed is to something. You know, if a person owns property, they have a title or a deed to that property. And that has their name on it and things. And now you may not have the deed to you. If you're paying, it might be down in some bank somewhere or someplace they hold it. It's just like a car. You have a title to a car. If you own that car, your name is on that title. That's your possession. It's part of what you own. And so we own that. We found that faith is the title that you have what you were believing for. It's the title. The thing that you hope to come to pass, it says now that thing, instead of others, it isn't just a hope or a look to the future, that now that thing belongs to you. See, faith says it belongs to me. You need to get a hold of this, because people do strange things. If you'd go over on Tuesday teachings, I've been teaching the last couple weeks about manifestation, because the church got over into error in these areas, and a lot of it's taught in error in these areas. We're never told in the Bible to believe for any manifestation. We're told to believe we receive when we pray. We're not told to believe for manifestation. People who are believing for manifestation are just getting themselves over to God deals with the manifestation part. That's not my part. You're not operating in faith when you're over on the manifestation. I've heard people say this already. You know, I believe I received my healing. Now I'm believing for the manifestation. And I think, you ain't ever getting it. I've asked people, could you please show me in Scripture where it tells you to believe for the manifestation? Would you please show them that to me? I want you to read that one to me. Give me that Scripture, because I never saw it. I've been getting healed for years and never used that one. I want to see that one. You don't believe for manifestation. You believe you receive it. Manifestation deals with the seeing side. And when you're over there, what you're saying is, I'm believing that I'm going to believe over here. When I see it, I'm going to believe it. That's what the manifestation. They don't believe. They say, if I believed I received it, then it's mine. See, I could hold title to a car, or I could hold title to a property I never see. I can buy property someplace and I don't have to go there. I mean, all the time they put things where people sell land at places, you know, where you could go, you don't even have to go look at the land. You know, don't even have to go there. They'll sell property and you can turn around and buy the property and you don't ever have to go there. People do that all the time. There's people invest in real estate and stuff in places. They never go see the property. These big companies, that stuff, they never do it. And yet they hold title to it and have never seen it. If somebody comes along and says, that belong to you? Well, I'm believing if I can see it, then it'll manifest. In other words, this paper that I'm holding that says I own that property is worthless. It's meaningless. See, that's what a person tells me when they're believing for the manifestation. They said the word was worthless. The word says, I haven't. They'll say, no, I don't. I ain't got the manifestation, so I haven't seen it, so it don't belong to me. See, you need to believe you receive, and this is what faith is about. When you operate in the areas of faith, faith is the fact. When you really came to the place of faith, you're believing that what God said belongs to you. It's yours. I own it now. It's mine. I hold the title to it. It belongs to me. That was the greatest revelation that I ever got when I turned around dealing the areas of healing. Because you're dealing, why? Because at times you're dealing with symptoms in your body, you're dealing with things, you're feeling pain, you have this problem or that problem going on, you know, if something's happening. And what happens? What you're dealing with the thing, am I going to turn around and believe I received because the word says, or I'm going to let my feelings talk to me and say, I ain't got it yet. Because I'm still feeling something, or I still see a problem, or I still doing that. See, you're not believing you receive. You haven't got the title to it yet. Until you own the title, you aren't going to see it. When you take the title, that means it is yours, and it's God's job to bring it to pass. It's God's job. It's not your job to believe for manifestation. It's your job to believe it's true. You know, I got born again. I didn't believe for a manifestation of Ed living right. Well, I mean, I'd have never walked in salvation if I'd have done something so stupid. I believe what the Bible said and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, got born again, started calling myself a child of God for the simple reason I just believe what the Word said. The Word said if I called on the name of the Lord, I'd be saved. I did it. I didn't have to have a preacher there. I did it in the home all by myself. I did it, got born again. Why? I just operated on the Word. Just believe what the Word of God says. And doing that, I took the title for my salvation. I said, that salvation belongs to Ed. It's mine. I took the title of it. Ever since, I have held the title to my salvation. Ever since, I've got it. It's mine. Hallelujah. And it has manifest. That is the nice part. It did manifest, but that wasn't my part to manifest my salvation. My part was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He still does the saving. That's his job. See, most people are trying to all do God's job, and they're saying they have a hard time at faith. I'm going to tell you what, you try to do God's job, you're going to have a real hard time at faith. Last time I checked, I looked at my wallet, checked my birth certificate, I'm not God. So there's a good chance I can't do his job. So there's no point in me trying that one. My job is not to manifest things. My job is to believe what he said is true. And just obey it like it's true. Walk and live like it's true. Walk and live like I got to the title that everybody else sits around and looks at you and say, yeah, he's saying he's healed, but look at him, he's still limping. Yeah, he's still got, yeah. They're still coughing. I can see that. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to walk by faith, it's going to be no different than in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, the people that walked by faith, most of the people didn't understand him. Jesus walked by faith, they didn't like him because he was contrary to what everybody else does. And so we need to understand that when we come to faith. Faith, you have hopes and you have dreams, and your faith will take the title. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses, considering it to be real fact. Hallelujah. When I found out that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, the word says, people say, well, that's not talk. That's talking about spiritual healing. Well, actually, there's no place in the New Testament talks about spiritual healing. There's no place in the New Testament talks about it. You get born again, you didn't get spiritually healed. You became a new creation. If you need spiritually healed, you're going to have to go to some kind of other spiritualist because we don't have that one. We don't have that one in Christian. You got born again. You might need fixed right. Today we use the idea of healing, but what it is, they'll use the term, but really it's not dealing with people's spirits. It's dealing really with people's renewing of the mind. That's where people need fixed. Your spirit don't need fixed. Your crazy mind does, like my crazy mind. My mind can think some weird things, can't it? And some of you just got to get your mind over right. That was the big thing. My big thing was when I got born again was getting my mind renewed with the Word of God because I lived 30 years of my life. You know, I mean, my reality was getting stoned and, you know, drinking, juicing, doing drugs, you know, good old alcoholic, you know, having a great time and doing drugs. I was having a real wonderful time. But that was my reality. You know, that's how you've dealt with pain. You know, you've dealt with pain in your life. You got problems in your life. You drink, you forget about them. Till you wake up the next morning and you're sober and you realize you just spent all your money and you still got the problem. And then you go through all this nonsense. But you know, so what do? You don't ever solve the problem. You just go back using the stuff again. I hate to say this, but many Christians try to do that stuff with faith. They live identically the same way. I see Christians live no different than I did as the drunk. They try to use God really as a sense, as a way, so I don't feel bad doing, I don't feel bad for when I'm doing bad things. I want to get a good result living wrong stuff. And so I use, you know, one foot over here in Christianity and the other one's out here in this thing. What happens to these individuals, they never renew their mind with the Word of God. They don't know how to think right. So really, they end up bringing their old way of thinking over into their Christian belief, and they follow that, and they try to wrap God's word around that thing. They're trying to believe God, but really they have never changed the way they think. And I found out, man, I had a lot of work changing the way I think. I sure didn't live a life that thought like God thought. And it took me a lot of time. That's why Mike, you know, said about reading, get in the Word and praying and stuff. You do those things. Why? To get in the presence of God. I need my mind fixed. And I learned a long time ago, Ed couldn't fix his mind on his own. He couldn't do that. And you got to get over there with God. Start believing God, saying the right things. You know, I used to use the scripture all the time and speak the things. The Bible says the good work that he started in me, he'd bring it to completion. I didn't see how on earth. You know, I'll tell you what, my mind used to give me trouble. It used to make almost say to me, you're the biggest liar in the world. And I'd say, good work he started in me. He'll bring it to completion. And my mind would be like, my God, you're doing worse than you did before. But I would just keep saying that because that's his word. And I'll tell you, I believe that. where I believed that with all my heart, that the good work he started in me, he'd bring it to completion. I don't care how it seemed like I was messed up. I'd say, the word of God says, God said about me, the good work that he started in me, he was going to bring it to completion. So he'll do it. That's his job. He'll do it. He's going to work in me what I can't work in me. He's going to do in me what I can't do in me. If you can follow God without the help of God, what on earth are you doing here? I can't live this life without him. If he isn't working in me supernaturally, if he isn't doing unseen stuff in Ed, Ed's in trouble. And this is where faith comes in. I'm not operating out of the realm of the seen. I believe that unseen realm is a real realm, the realm of spirit. God's kingdom is a real kingdom. And I believe it will influence me. And I believe it has a greater influence upon me than Satan's kingdom. Most Christians believe the devil has more influence. When they talk about people being influenced, they're always talking about the devil does. I'm going to tell you, God has greater influence if the church would just shut up and quit bragging on what the devil's doing all the time. And talking about all the evil that's going on and all the stuff and start bragging on God. Angels are greater than demons. They have more power than demons. The reason we don't see them around or see them do stuff is because we've saying the wrong stuff and speaking the wrong things. We got to get our mind changed. There's a real realm and there's angels. Hallelujah. I tell you, there's angels just follow Ed around. Hallelujah. Well, I use them. Glory to God. There's some people, their angels are sacked out somewhere. They don't ever use them. But they use the demons around them all the time. Running their mouth and letting the devil do stuff. Talking about all the bad stuff that's going on all the time. You have to talk about the bad stuff. There's people going to do bad stuff whether you talk about it or not. So let it alone. It don't matter. Talk about what's good. The Bible says we're supposed to talk about what's good, what's pure, what's right. Hallelujah. You start talk about your protection. I don't care what they do today. God's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. I don't care what they're doing. Ain't no government bigger than the angels around me. Ain't no government bigger than my God. Hallelujah. They can't stop God from blessing me. Dear Lord, the devil rose up against, Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego, threw them in a fire. Hallelujah. The guys ended up the rulers of the nation. Glory to God. The church today scared to be thrown in the fire. Dear Lord, throw me in the fire. Glory to God. You'll lose your position. Glory to God, I'll end up with it. Oh, but we're so fearful. We're so fearful. We need the vote to get in charge. I tell you, God knows how to put people in charge. If the church would start realizing there's something bigger than democracy. Hallelujah. There's the kingdom of God. That's where we are. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in God's kingdom. We're God's children. Hallelujah. And it don't matter what race you are or whatever else. It don't matter. It matters not in the kingdom, man. Every child of the kingdom has the same authority, the same position. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The same blessing goes to each person. Hallelujah. It's not just to one group or this guy over here or that guy. Glory to God. The blessing of God is for all. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know about you. I'm excited. Hallelujah. Can't help myself. See, in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, what? Not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter out here in sight what it seems like is going on. It doesn't matter what it seems like is going on. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'll tell you, if you walk by faith, you'll change what you see around you. But if you just keep calling the things that are as though they are, don't expect anything to change. Don't expect anything. Well, that person's never going to change. Well, you're sure trying to help that, ain't you? Well, they're just never going to change. Hallelujah. Well, but see, we need to begin to speak and to say the right things. Hebrews 11:2 says this for concerning this faith. He says, by it, which is the word faith. In other words, we could put the word faith there. Or by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. How did they get a good testimony? Now, the elders he's talking about are that we're going to find is the elders through this chapter. This is a chapter. This is how people, men and women, walk by faith. This is what, in other words, they had a good, their faith produced a testimony. You need to understand this. Your testimony is not how you got born again. That could be part of it. See, most Christians, I think, their testimony, tell people how you got saved. You notice most people ain't even going to get saved listening to you tell them how you got saved. They might be dealing with all kinds of different issues in their life. What they need to hear is the testimony of what your faith has done for you in your walk. See, I can sit and tell you stories after stories after stories after stories of what my faith did since I've been born again. Most people, all they got to do as a testimony is tell you what God did for them 27 years ago. Well, what's he done lately? Nothing. Why? Because they don't live by faith. Your faith will produce it. Faith in God will always produce things. It's always producing stuff. And your faith producing stuff is a testimony to people of what God will do. They need to know that. You know, people don't want a God just one day save me. People are looking for a God who will move in, live with them, a God who today will do what he did yesterday. You know, if God would have healed me back then and wouldn't heal me today, I ain't going to go brag on nobody about him healing. Because if I can't have it today, who cares? Today I may need it. See, we need to get out of this Christian thinking that has been brought in. Really, it isn't scriptural. The testimony of the church in the beginning, the testimony was the demonstrations of the Spirit that God did. That's how they testified Jesus was alive. The Apostle Paul didn't go around telling everybody about on the road to Damascus how he got saved. Apostle Paul testified of Jesus through the demonstrations of the Spirit, through him people knew Jesus was alive because of the miracles. The dead church today is trying to convince people Jesus is alive through talk. We have to have more than talk. Hallelujah. That's why it's good at testimonies, and you tell people, God heal me. I can sit and tell healing testimony after healing testimony, things God did for me, things that God did for other people I've ministered to, saw God do, all kinds of things. We can testify the fact the power of God, and it's working. And we need a testimony. That's why you and I need to learn to live by faith. If I don't learn to live by faith, I have no testimony. I can't prove to anybody today God's alive. We don't know. Maybe he did not die in the last 10 years since I've been born again, you know, or something. Now, I've been born again longer than that. You know, I got 33 years under me and that. I'm going to be heading for 34 here shortly. Years of this stuff, and in those years, I don't even pass no 2 or 3 months without having a testimony of what my faith did. My faith's always doing things. Hallelujah. And I recognize them. See, I recognize because why? People are going through situations in life. They need to know God's real, that he will help them. They need to hear from somebody whom God has helped, whom God has delivered, whom God has set free. They need to hear about it. They don't need some old story just to somebody else. You know, it's good. I use other people's experiences, but I got my own too. Sometimes I don't like to use certain experiences because I don't want people to think I'm bragging about stuff. I don't want people to think, but I could sit and tell you, I've told one, I could sit and write books. I could write books about things that God did, stuff, of all the things. Wanda and I, in our first year as Christians, had more miracles than most people will have in a lifetime. Because we were so stupid, we just believed God. We were just idiots. We were just like, let's believe God for this. And why? You know, I'm stand here the word of God for this. We had more crazy stuff just to happen and take place. But I'll tell you what, we knew Jesus was alive. Hallelujah. We got a lot of criticism out of it too. Later on, after going to a church and finding out, boy, they did, you know, especially the older Christians, they get mad at you. You younger Christian come along and God demonstrating himself. Well, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees were out with their bags of rocks, waiting to stone you because, you know, you must be lying. If God really moved like that, he'd do that for me. Well, he couldn't do nothing for them unbelieving things. Oh, they believed as far as getting saved, but they couldn't get nothing else from God because anybody tried to tell them any different, they wouldn't listen. I tell you, listen to the word of God. Our elders, I go by the elders of this book. These are the men and women of example to me of what God does. It's not all this other junk going on out here. These people please God by their faith. And God took through the book of Hebrews, had these people's, what they did by faith, things that they did by faith, put down for us to encourage us to believe God. And what they simply do, they simply believed what the Word of God said, what God told them, and they did it. Hallelujah. That's what they did. They found out what God said and they did it. And we need to understand this because faith is, you heard Mike, when Mike's teaching, if you listen to Mike's teaching, one of the things that Mike taught in the areas of patience, and he said, made this statement, faith is where the will of God is known. You need to understand this. If you don't know what God's will is on something, you can't have faith in Him to do anything. If you don't know that God wants to heal you, that that's His plan and purpose is to heal you, and you believe it's His will to, for you to be sick, well, you couldn't stand in faith for God to heal you. You have to know what the will of God is. Does God want to bless you financially? You have to know that He wants to. You know, if somebody preaches to you that God wants you poor for a reason, you know, I was down in Peru on a mission trip, and I felt so sorry for the people because stupid, you know, religious world down there telling them, all you people, you're all poor. God has you poor for a purpose and, you know, rich and all that. And yet those same you know, preachers, the other ministers are trying to take, you know, tell them they're supposed to put money in to help the church. Well, if God wants me poor, I ain't giving Him no money to keep me poor. He'd be an idiot. Why is God trying to get my money when He's taking it from me? What, He already took it from me. What does He need more for? Dear Lord. See, people need to get their minds straightened out. My heart broke for those people. You get down into poverty, and their ministers of their churches are standing over there. Well, God has you poor. Oh, yes, you're poor for a reason and all this kind of stuff. Man, I'm not talking about like poor here. Poor here in the United States, you're driving two cars. Poor here in the United States, you got cable television, you've got three telephones, you got all, this is poor in America. Oh yes, we're in poverty in America. I'm not talking about people have nothing, man. I'm talking about people living in cardboard shacks. I'm talking about people, I mean, the whole family's sick. There's no clean water. They have no electricity. These people are poor. And the minister's standing over them telling me, God's involved in this. Dear Lord. And if you don't do what God wants you to do, He'll get you. He'll get you. It's nothing but paganism. That's all it is. It ain't Christian. They talk about Christian. They use the name Jesus. They put up, but it's all paganism. I'm going to tell you, God's in the business of helping people. God wanted you messed up. All He had to do is not send Jesus, and we'd all be messed up. God sent Jesus because you and I needed deliverance, and there was no way to be delivered without God. And God didn't sit back and say, well, let's see what's going to happen. No, God had a plan from the foundation of the world. Bible. The Bible says God sent Jesus. Before the world was ever created, God knew what was going to happen. And He was going to send Jesus just to deliver you. He was going to send Jesus just so you could be blessed. Just so you could have money in your pocket. Just so you could have good food. Just so you could have good clothing. Because the devil was going to try to steal it all from you. God sent Jesus just for that purpose. He planned it before He ever created man. That if He knew the devil was going to step in, and He said, I'm going to be able to bless men anyhow. I'm going to be able to do it. I got a plan that the devil don't know about and can't do nothing about, and I'm going to bless the people. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my God. Hallelujah. You can preach that one. That one's fun to preach. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And that's what He did. That's what Jesus was about. Jesus, He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. He went about doing good. Oh, it'd be good if you'd be sick. It'd be good if you'd be poor. No, I didn't see that. Hallelujah. God was blessing people. And I want you to understand, that's God's blessing for you. And that's why, you know, I'm saying all these things because we got to bring the hope level up. We got to bring up the level of people's faith. You know, I was thinking with Pat, you know, operating, let me just say this, operating in faith. There was a guy there was a centurion who was a Roman centurion that Jesus ran into. And this guy came up to Jesus and asked Him to heal his servant. He said his servant was sick. And this guy, anyhow, what he did is Jesus said he would go, but what he did is Jesus, on the way, this guy came out and said, "Hey, hold it! You don't have to come to my house." He said, "I'm not worthy that you come there. You just say the word, my servant would be healed. Give me the word. That's all I need. You say my servant's well. That's all I need to hear. That's all I need. You just say it's well." And Jesus said, "Go your way. Hallelujah. What you asked, you got it." Jesus made this statement. He said, "I haven't found a greater faith in Israel." Now, I want you to say, Israel's a covenant people. Jesus just made a statement that a Gentile who was not under the covenant of God had more faith than any Jew he found who was under the covenant. Now, this ain't just knocking the Jews. Understand, folks. I can say that I've run into sinners who had more faith in God than Christians do. I've run into the same thing. But I just want to share with you what this great faith thing is. Great faith is just this. You believe what the Word says, and that's enough for you. See, if the Word says it, you don't need a word from somebody else. If the Bible says you're blessed, you're blessed. If the Bible says you're healed, you're healed. You know, I thought about it. You know, like when Pat told me her testimony of being healed. Do you know, now, if I'd have probably said to Pat, do you think you operate in great faith? I think Pat would have probably said to me, well, I don't know. I don't operate. But actually, she did. She operated on the highest level of faith you can operate on. She just believed what the Word says, acted on it all by herself, and she was healed. She operated in great faith. Do you realize that everybody, now, in here, is there anybody Jesus appeared to you and that's why you got saved? It never happened to me. I don't know. Sometimes there's been people that's happened. Jesus appeared to them. Never happened to me from that standpoint. I mean, I've had different things happen since I've been saved, but not. But you know what? Then that puts us all in the class. You know, we all use great faith to get saved. Somebody told us what the Bible said in salvation, and we just believed what the Word said and accepted Christ unseen. I'll tell you this. The night I got born again, I didn't have one goosebump. When I got saved, I didn't feel like any great weight left me. I felt nothing. You know, it's sort of like having a dry mouth and trying to spit. That's what my salvation was like. It was like a dry. You know what, though? I believed I was saved because I did what the Bible. I just believed what the Bible said. Had no feelings. Didn't see Jesus. I operated in great faith. You guys did the same thing. Somebody might have preached the Word to you and you accepted Jesus. Just on somebody's word of what the Word of God says, you became a child of God. You operated on great faith. See, great faith ain't something hard to do. It's what happens is when once people get born again, we have all these preachers talking everybody out of faith. We have all these people listening to stuff being said that minimizes our faith. And we think we have to arrive to some great, huge achievement place of faith. And it's not. It's not. We all used it to get born again. Every one of us operated in great faith. That was the problem with the Jew. They would not believe until they saw. They wouldn't believe till they saw. And Jesus said, I ain't find this kind of faith. This guy don't have to see nothing. Jesus was excited. I ran into a guy who didn't have to see nothing. He just believed the Word. Whoa, this is something. And it was a Gentile. Well, all you crazy Gentiles, is anybody here born a Jew? Anyone here born a Jew? Well, then all you crazy Gentiles that just believe what the Bible said. You believe the Word of God. You accepted it. You had great faith. You believed and you didn't see. You just took the Word as a title deed that it belonged to you. And you received it at that. Hallelujah. Well, did it change your life? Change mine. See, I didn't have an instant some kind of change that night. But I found out things that started happening and going on with me. From responding to that, I started having manifestations after. And I didn't have to believe for any of them. I didn't have to believe for no matter. They started happening. And those manifestations, Wanda started seeing them. And she thought, wow, what's going on here? And this guy's really gotten out there. But you know what? I didn't drum up anything to make them happen. They just happened because I was saved. They just happened because why? I became a new creation. There was desires in me that changed I never had before. There was desires in me for things. I got this great desire, you know, to just desire and hunger for God's Word. I didn't have to somebody drum it up in me to have a hunger desire. I just had this, I wanted to know what God had to say. I'd find myself reading the Bible all the time, looking at the Bible, reading the Bible. Well, man, that was sure different. Ed didn't read the Bible before. My God, the pages weren't even bent in Bibles in our house. My God. And all of a sudden, here I am. I have this great desire. I got this desire to give money to help bless. That was insane. Well, why do I have this desire to give money to people? What do I want to bless? Why do I want to give some minister some money to help him do something? To me, it was like this. You know, at first, I didn't get it. I thought, my God, I also have this desire to do. I want to do these things. I want to do this stuff. Before, when I'd be said, can we pick somebody's pocket? Can we? Ain't nobody getting nothing out of me. But see, that changed. See, the manifestations came because I believed, I didn't see, and I believed. I just took the title for myself, and God manifests things. And see, I learned over time that's at that time, I didn't know all about how it works. Today, I can get things to work a lot faster because if I'd have known then what I know now, oh my God, what I would have been able to do. But I don't know about you, I didn't rise to the top of things. just overnight. But I'll tell you what, I rose fast. I rose faster than most. But there's one thing you have to know about it. It isn't because God did something greater in me. It's because, when I found out this stuff worked, I started selling everything else out. I ain't going to do that no more. I ain't going to head that direction. I'm going with, this is cool. This is good. I'm going after that. See, most people don't. Most people still love the world pretty much. They never get over it. You know, they want God, but you know what? They come into the kingdom different. They come in wanting God to help them, but they don't want to sell out to God. I sold out to God. There wasn't nothing in my life that I wanted. There was nothing else over there in that old life. Too many people love the sin life. They like that junk that's over there. They like the stuff that's in it. They want to go back to it. They like to stay with it. But you have to make a decision, whatever your love is. I didn't want that life anymore. I knew this. That life was killing my family. See, and I found out as I grew as a Christian. See, when you grow as a Christian, you have to find this out. My life is affecting other people all the time. And I want my life to be an effect on people for good, not for evil. People don't need to get another demon from something. There's plenty of them to go around. They need to get something good. And I found this out. You know, your effect, just like Jesus. Look at Jesus' effect on humanity. All these ages, this is carried down because one God came in the flesh, operated as a man. And we can truthfully say this because of what he did as a man, influence. But look at Abraham. Look what Abraham did. One man. One man followed God and influenced generation after generation and generation of people to today. He's called in the church, in the New Testament says, he's the father of our faith. Why can't we? You see, we see ourselves as too little. We see ourselves as too small. We don't see our effect. If you heard from heaven and you're doing what heaven says, you're having an effect in the earth. The church has lost its effect in the nation. That's why our nation is so messed up. It's because the church is just like the people in the nation. And it's the same influence. We need people that are different. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's us. Let's be different. I just decided I wanted to be different, and God, I believe God, and God worked in Ed what Ed could have never worked in me. I couldn't have made myself that different. I couldn't have done that. I tried all the bits of people say, turn over a new leaf. You know, I'll tell you, I'd quit drinking or smoking or doing stuff like that or, you know, taking drugs. I'd do it up to 15 minutes. I'd quit. You know, I was just really good at it. You know, I got the point I didn't even try to quit no more because I thought, all these people going through the motions, it's stupid. Why? Because I had no power to stop, and I realized that. I had no power to stop. I had no power to stop. And I recognized that. It wasn't until Ed gave up his will and got born again, Ed got power to stop. This is why a lot of people can't ever quit. They can't ever quit nothing. They can't quit because they're always operating under their willpower. And they don't realize their willpower stinks. It's rotten. You know, they don't ever operate under the power of God. You go to the power of God. That's where I need it. If God didn't help me, I was not going to succeed. I had to have God's help. There was no other way. I'm going to tell you, God knows that. God knows. God's going to ask you to do things in life. God's going to call you to things you can't do. I'm just going to tell you. If you think God's going to call you to do things according to your talents, forget it. You ain't going to turn around because if he does, you do it through your talent, you're going to be glorifying you. There's number one, God knows. I stand in front of people and preach today, and I'll guarantee you, I don't stand in front of you by talent. Have you ever noticed that? Hallelujah. If it wouldn't be for the anointing, you wouldn't want me being up around here teaching. You wouldn't want me around here preaching. You wouldn't want me standing in this office. God called me to do what I can't do. God calls us to do what we can't do. See, when I got saved, I could not see myself. I was an alcoholic. It was impossible for me. I can truthfully say this. I had no hope of ever stop drinking. I didn't have a bit of hope in the area to stop drinking. I had no hope in it. I could not see myself. Before I got born, God was dealing with me about stuff, and I said to the Lord, one day I said to God, because see, I always heard this stuff. You know, you straighten out your life, and then, you know, God will take you. You know, you get everything straightened out. And I said, I'll never forget this. I was a sinner, and God, you know, I had God speak to me when I was a sinner. I heard God more as a sinner than most Christians hear God. I said, I'm serious. God would speak to me. And I said this to the Lord one day. I was a sinner. I said, God, if I have to stop drinking to get saved, There ain't no way I'm getting saved. It ain't ever happening. We might as well just forget it. I had no hope of it. I could not see myself not drinking. I just could not. I'm going to tell you, I was bound demonically. You need to understand, alcoholics, it ain't just something in your flesh. Alcoholics are dealing, and drug addicts are dealing with demonic problems. That's why these little, you know, psychology sessions don't do them any good, and they go back. You know what the government today considers a person clean of drugs? If you go into one of their programs and for 3 months you stay straight, they say you're cured. The government, the United States is a bunch of insane idiots, because what they do is their clinics that they run about, you know, they got under 10% of people that go, they say are clean. I want to tell you what, that 10% ain't even happened. When I worked at Lebanon County Prison years ago, there was not one guy who went through any of their programs that didn't end up back in jail again, doing the same stuff. They were supposed to be down there. They didn't get free. Why? Because you're dealing with demonic stuff. The devil don't care who's... Psychologists don't scare the devil at all. You know, psychiatrists don't scare the devil at all. They don't leave because a psychiatrist comes out and says, think happy thoughts. You know, just think around. And it's just, it'll be all okay. Yeah. And the guy gets out of there and goes, give me a shot. I need it now. My God. But see, people don't know. These people are not just, they have a problem in dealing with their flesh. There's demonic powers that are dealing with these people and driving them to insanity. And people say, why can't they see? The Bible talks about the people in the world blinded. It says the God of this world's blinded them. They can't see. That's where I was. I was blind and couldn't see. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if I have to quit drinking so I can be saved, I said, I'll never get saved. I'll never forget this. All of a sudden, this voice spoke to me and said, who told you that? I said, dear Lord, this is all I grew up with around Christianity. You got to get straight. If you get real straight, then God will use you. So he said this to me, and God said, and I began a search. He said, you go over and look in my word in the New Testament. And he said, you show me where it says down there, if you quit doing things wrong, then I'll save you. Show me that in the scriptures. I'm a sinner. I started searching the scriptures. I started reading the Bible. Most amazing thing. I started as a sinner reading the Bible, and I found out all these things in the New Testament that I had been lied to over the years by Christians, in a Christian church, born and raised in it. All kind of things they said the Bible said ain't there. And things that were said differently. Now, I'm not knocking, but you know, they come out, they just preach their religion. They preach whatever somebody told them or whatever they grew up with. And I started reading the Bible. And I started reading the Bible, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find a place that said it had to get straight for God to take him. I still didn't have no, I knew this. I didn't see, I thought, well, I'd get born again and be a drunk. Hey, I had no more hope than that. I didn't know. I didn't know. But I found out this. God would take me, and that's what I was looking for. God would take me. That's what I wanted. I wanted God. I needed acceptance, man. I needed God to take me. I needed help. But I came to the place that I needed help. And I knew if something supernatural didn't happen to me, Ed was a dead man. I knew it. I knew I was a dead man. I knew I wasn't gonna make it. I wasn't gonna live. And just one night, I just got on my knees right at the house, right at home. Got home, was on second shift, got home from work. Knelt down by the sofa, and I didn't go through some nice little pretty prayer. I just sat down and I just told God, I believe Jesus is Lord. And I told God, I need saving. This boy needs saving. I need Jesus to save him. And I just told him, I said, Lord, I said, I served the devil. And I said, I've been good at it. And I was. I was really good at serving the devil. Most people won't admit that. They might as well face up to it. These people think I ain't been too bad. Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of them have been a lot worse than they thought. And I just said, Lord, I'm just going to give you my life today. And I said, I'm going to serve you. I commit myself to serve you just like I served the devil. I said, I was a good servant and I'm going to be a good servant. And I said, I'm going to serve you. And that's all I did. I got up from the sofa and you know what? Bed feel a thing. But you know what? Somehow, though I did know this, I did the right thing. I just knew I did the right thing. I just knew I did what was right. But things started to change. God began to work in Ed. All of a sudden, Ed didn't have this drive to drink like crazy. He didn't, the drive left. That was the most astounding thing to me. The Lord spoke to me one day and he said, "Do you know that you don't have to drink anymore?" And I said, "Oh my God, I have a choice." See, I could never see myself with a choice anymore. I didn't see myself in that way. But see, God changed me. I operated in faith. I just took the title to that salvation. And God changed me. And folks, that's the way it always works. You're going to have to take the title for it. If you take the title for it, God will bring the change. You don't have to believe for the change. The change is yours when you own that title. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, whatever your desire, whatever you need today, whatever it might be, you know, we prayed for people for sickness here, but whatever you're going through in your life, whatever's happening to you, whatever pressures have been coming against you, whatever might be going on or taking place, I just want to tell you, if you're a born-again Christian, God, you know, if over in the Old Testament it says God said to him, "I have good thoughts for you," you know, and I'm thinking good things, and that, how much more? Look at the New Testament when it says God's thoughts toward humanity. God takes no, Bible says God doesn't take any pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. I was taught in church as if like when people went to hell, God was glad to send them there. Because, oh, they were just so bad. God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. God doesn't take pleasure. That's not his will. God's will for men is that all would be saved. And that's not just born again. You need saved from stuff. I need saved from stuff. I got born again. I needed delivered from stuff. I was bound. But it wasn't until I identified that I was bound. You can't get deliverance if you think you're all right. If you're all right, you don't need deliverance. Know about you? I have enough to know. There's things that Ed needs delivered. Ed, there's things in my life, if God doesn't work in me, it will never take place. It will be me just doing the same things before us, trying to quit drinking, knowing it's never going to work. That deliverance comes from God. It's about believing Him. It's about you saying, you know, God will deliver me. God is interested. See, you got to get a picture of a good God. So Oral Roberts, years ago, back in the 50s, coined the phrase, "God is a good God." You wouldn't believe how many people wanted to stone him for that. You tell people God's a good God, they'll think he will, you know, they can just do anything. They were doing anything anyhow, so it didn't matter. I'm telling you, God is a good God. And he is a good God, and he has never changed one iota. He's never been the responsible of the evil in the earth. He's the blesser in the earth. I'm going to tell you, there's a huge distinction between him and the devil. A huge distinction. And you know, God's not sitting here beating you over the head to change. You need supernatural help to change. And God has that help. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. There's no believer can live this life without the power of God. It is impossible. Men try it all the time. People are always trying to do it. You know, I've done stupid things and went for long periods of time trying to do things under my power till one day I stop and think, "What on earth are you doing, you idiot? You need God's help and you've been messing around and letting things go and not stopping saying, 'Help, Lord! I need your help.'" You ever think about it? It says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved," and everybody takes that as just salvation, being born again. No, it's whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. That word there, saved, is a Greek word. It means healed, delivered, set free, whatever you might need. That's what that means there. And there's times that I just stopped and said, "Dear God, save me out of my stupidity right now in the name of Jesus." And he has. He has saved me out of my stupidity. But many times we walk along and we're just trying to run on willpower. I've learned this over the years. You know, I can be strong-willed in areas, but I'll tell you what, I have not got enough will to follow God. Without God's help, my willpower is not enough. But my willpower and his strength, my God, it's amazing what we can do. Hallelujah. It's amazing what we can accomplish when I hook my willpower with his power. Glory to God. I tell you what, you got a fighting team there. He does something with my will that I could never do on my own. He's made me stand steadfast in things that I would have told you that if you'd asked me naturally, I could have not stood in it. But I stood strong in it because I wasn't standing. I took the title to the thing, and you know the Bible says, you know, when you fall, he'll make you stand. Hallelujah. It says you fall seven times. Fall seven times, that word seven is the number of completion. It means you completely down and out. Man, you just got knocked out in the seventh round. You've been laid out there. He said, he'll make you stand. He'll make you stand. He said he would. Glory to God. There's some of you, you need him making you stand today. You need to call on the name of the Lord. He'll make you stand. Hallelujah. Whatever you might need, he's going to make you stand. You might say, well, how am I going to meet this need? Or how am I going to take care of this? I got this problem. I'm going to tell you today, he's going to make you stand. If you'll call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I can't stand without you. And I'm just trusting you today. You're going to make me stand. The good work that you started in me, you're going to bring it to completion. Hallelujah. You're going to put me over today. Hallelujah. Where I've struggled, I'm not going to keep struggling there. You're going to train me and teach me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to come out of that thing a champion. Hallelujah. I'm going to be able to stand because my God will make me stand. He'll do it. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you. Father God, there's many needs here. There's many things of your people, but I want to thank you. Your power is greater than any need of humanity. And you proved it through Jesus Christ. No matter what the devil, no matter what the enemy has tried to do to stop humanity, I want to thank you, Lord God. It's an impossibility for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be denied the power of God. And I thank you, Lord God, today the power of God is right now in waiting for anybody that will reach out and take it. In whatever area, Lord God, that they need, I want to thank you today that your hand right now is reaching into that area of their life, bringing your strength, bringing your ability, where they couldn't stand, where they couldn't deal with it, Lord God. Lord God, where they tried with all their might. Father God, their faith may have been seen to weak and waver, but Lord God, you're able to make them stand strong in faith. In the name of Jesus, your word will uphold them. They will not fail in Jesus' name. They will succeed. They will overcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because they're your children. You brought them with the price. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, your glory will be revealed in them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you today. I thank you there's a rising up in this people. I thank you, Lord God, there's a strength in them. Lord God, that has not been there before. Because, Lord God, it's an increase in the great grace and ability of God working in them. I thank you that grace is abounding in them in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, wisdom. Lord God, I thank you today that your power is joined together with their will. And I thank you, Lord God, it's making a supernatural force now working against the enemy in their life and what has been working against them. Lord God, I thank you, Father, as your word says, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank you today that these people are blessed. And Father God, as Abraham obeyed and went to the land, and Lord God, the blessing surely did manifest. I want to thank you. They will see with their own eyes your blessing in their life. They're going to experience it. They're going to have the joy of enjoying it, hallelujah, and walking in it and sharing it with others, Lord God, hallelujah. And the Father, through them, through Lord God, they're walking by faith. I thank you, others will come to faith. Others will come to faith. And we thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you so much, Lord God, for helping your people in this day and time. And Lord God, the outcome of whatever happens, we don't take it to ourselves that we do anything wonderful or we're so good. Father, we glorify you and magnify you because without you, the Word says we could do nothing. And Lord God, without your help, Lord, I lived for 30 years without your help, and I did nothing. But Lord, I want to say today, thank you. Through you, many wonderful things have happened. Many glorious things have happened. And you get all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.